Joni, you're on number three here. Finished it last fall. You've been doing some book signings. Let's go back a little bit, though. How did you get going on this one? Is it with the same process every time for books one, two, and three?
No. Of course, the first one was an animal all to itself. But on the second book, as I guess you have to do in a trilogy, the first book sets everything up and kind of leads you to believe it could continue on. And I had a lot of good response, and folks seemed to like the characters, and I was in love with the characters, so I wanted to continue on. So the second book, everything kind of falls apart. And then, of course, I had to fix things in the third book. So I had a notion of what I wanted to do, generally speaking. But I've been told, I guess there's a process in writing, and I guess I'm more of an organic writer. I'm not really sure. I don't have the whole outline delineated. I don't know exactly what's going to happen until I kind of dig in and let it take a life of its own in a way. Just to give the listeners a little rundown, the first Hollister house, of course, is a haunted house, and all kinds of things do go wrong there. The second book starts out, everything's fine, but then everybody ends up, it's all bad, and actually leaving Hollister House. So the third book, I bring them back.
Back to the Hollister House,
yes,
in Deep South Mississippi.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about it.
It's a fictional tale, and it all centers around, there's a big house in a fictional place in Mississippi, and of course, there's a huge banyan tree that sits on the property. And I have used the banyan tree as kind of a spiritual portal, so to speak, for all kinds of good and bad things that happen in this banyan tree and, of course, affect the people living in the house. Which,
and we
is,
might say the banyan tree wasn't originally there. It was brought to the
country.
It
was brought by the original Hollister. So I go back and do a little bit of that story in the second and third books. I give you a little bit more of the original story of him bringing the tree over and stuff. And it's a kind of an enchanted tree. So when he brings it to Mississippi, it's kind of like turns to the dark side. And then I have that being the real reason that all this stuff that goes on. And then I have a lot of kids that I have a club. They're called the VPs. And I think the readers seem to really enjoy them. And they're kind of my heroes in a way. They do a lot of the fixing of things. But a woman named Eve Hollister comes. She wants to come into this house that's been absolutely abandoned for many, many years. It's her father's family home. It has a bad history. She comes into this house in Mississippi with the idea of renovating and bringing her daughter there and making a life for her and her daughter. And that is the premise of the first book. And it's their life there in the neighborhood of this small Mississippi town. And, of course, things go wrong, and I've got a little bit of the voodoo and all kinds of stuff
course.
That happened.
Why don't you read us a passage? I love when you pick one of your favorites out of there.
I will. This is from the third book in the trilogy, and Eve Hollister has returned. She's come back to the house, and she's going to try and make a go of it. But she's an interesting character to me because she never gets things exactly right. Mm-hmm. You know, she has a hard time. So Eve is just taking a stroll now. She's just walking. Eve turned left onto Main Street and was greeted by huge shade trees leaning heavily over the sidewalk, creating a dark green awning. The sunlight was blocked by the trees except for cracks of light stenciling the ground in angular designs. Warm air blew over her, and she slowed her walk to stare at the shadows dancing all around. It had a dizzying effect, playing with her senses. Sometimes the shadows configured to appear as faces, this one with heavy eyebrows, this one with a sardonic smile. It was all dreamlike, shadows coming to life, teasing her with their floating, contorted shapes. Her head was swimming, and she had to force herself to look up to keep from losing her balance. Leaning into one of the big oaks lining the sidewalk, she tried to shake off the dizziness. She took a deep breath, but her throat tightened, and she had a sudden urge to cry. She saw the bursting juniper bushes squeezed in between the old trees and all the viney ground cover blending concrete and dirt, and it all made her so sad, as though the beauty around her was too much to take in. I'm not worthy. There it was, the familiar loneliness that was her most constant companion, pushing its way back into her consciousness like a jealous lover. Yell, girl, don't forget me. Happiness ain't your thing. I'm all you got. Eve's mood was taking a dive. She felt it, a reservoir of sadness flooding her thoughts and drowning out the lightheartedness from just moments before. She looked up, straining to see the sun through the leaves, and suddenly the beauty was transformed into something dark and menacing. What is wrong with me? Why can't I let myself be happy for once? She felt tears fall down her cheeks as she turned from the street, walking as fast as her feet would carry her. She soon found herself on familiar ground, the gravel under her shoes scattered dusty fragments as she approached the gate and walked inside. Hollister Family Cemetery. The cemetery was quiet, as always, and impeccably groomed. The live oak tree stood regally in the corner, providing a leafy blanket for ancient, moss-covered tombstones marking the final resting places of Hollister family members. Eve found her father's elegant tombstone and sat down on the concrete bench in front of it. Anna Louise Hollister's plot was right next to his. Eve looked up at the angel adorning her grandmother's headstone. The loneliness came from here, she was sure. Her grandmother had lived a lonely existence, and Eve felt hurt too strongly. It was as though Anna lived on through Eve's pain. Eve was openly sobbing now as she let her gaze shift to the grave where her father lay. She missed him so much. He had been a beacon of light to her. He was the one who held her up when she couldn't stand on her own. "Oh, Dad, I failed you, didn't I? You were sick. The ghosts came for you, and where was I? I should have been there. Forgive me, Dad, forgive me." Eve stood up and leaned over Jonathan's stone, embracing it while she cried. The tall grasses swayed, and jasmine and wild roses sweetened the moist breeze. Mourning doves cooed from high up in the live oak and seemed to be singing to the woman below who was so sad. The cemetery welcomed her as one of its own. Eve sensed empathy coming from the spirits of her dead ancestors. They knew her and knew what she was feeling. She wiped the wet from her cheeks and looked around. Insanity runs in the family. She glanced up at the doves in the tree, and they cocked their fluffy white heads as they stared at her knowingly. Something caught her eye over by one of the oldest graves. She turned her head from the white doves and found herself looking into the rimless eyes of a large black bird. It didn't move, didn't call, just stared at her. Her tears stopped, a chilling fear replacing her sadness. This bird seemed to mean something.
Joni Lacey reading from her most recent book, the third and, I guess, final in the trilogy, the Hollister House trilogy. This one called The Witch and the Banyan Tree. You can catch up with Joni at Roebling Point Books and Coffee. It's on Greenup Street in Covington this coming Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. That's the 11th of May. And they're good reads. Thanks so much, Joni.
Thank you, Brian. It's always a pleasure.
You can go to our website, wvxu.org, for a link. And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Brian O'Donnell.